One Man's Family, brought to you, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer, Tabson, and many other fine, dependable pharmaceutical products. Overheard between Paul and the mill foreman at Higbee Mills, Oregon.
You say my nephew only had $2 in his pocket when he left the mill here?
Well, that's what I understand, Mr. Barber. He left his paycheck to apply on that poker debt. Walked out, and that's the last we saw of Pinky.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it is with the barbers today. Are antihistamines effective in treating the misery of a cold?
The answer is yes. Medical literature reports that more than 20,000 cold cases have been treated with antihistamines with 75% effectiveness.
Are antihistamines safe to take?
The answer is yes. Just read the directions on the package and follow them exactly.
Is Tabson an antihistaminic tablet?
The answer is yes. Tabson contains one of the most effective antihistamines known to medical science.
Is Tabson more than just an antihistaminic tablet?
The answer is yes. Tabson is an advanced formula that combines an effective antihistamine with other medically proved ingredients to help relieve more of your cold symptoms. It does more for you than any antihistamine alone.
First,
Tabson's antihistaminic properties relieve the sniffles and sneezes of a cold.
Second,
Tabson also relieves the aches and pains of a cold.
Third,
Tabson also relieves the fever of a cold.
And
Tabson goes one step further to help combat the dull, drowsy feeling.
Yes, Tabson is more than just another antihistaminic tablet. Much more. Don't wait for that next cold to strike. Get Tabson from your druggist now and be prepared. When you take cold, take Tabson quick. Feel better quick. T-A-B-C-I-N, Tabson. Chapter 6, Book 84. Paul Barber flew to Oregon last night to see if he could trace down his nephew, Pinky Murray, who quit his job with the Higbee Lumber Company and then disappeared. It's a little before 8 o'clock in the morning now, and Paul is in the company office talking to Joe Soren, mill foreman at Higbee Mills, Oregon, camp number 2.
And that's about all the information I was able to get, Mr. Barber.
I see.
Endorsed his paycheck and said to give it to that fella Jensen and pulled out.
Jensen's the man he lost the money to in the poker game.
Mm-hmm. I understand he still owes him $210.
And when Pinky left, he only had a couple of dollars in his pocket, huh?
Well, that's what he told my brother, Jeb. Jeb drives a supply truck up to Camp 4.
Oh, yeah. He drove Pinky down from the road camp where he was working.
That's right. Yeah. Jeb will be here pretty quick. When you phoned that you were coming out here, I thought maybe you might want to talk to Jeb yourself. So I told him to come into the office before he took the truck out this morning.
Oh, good. Say, tell me about this Jensen Pinky owes the money to. What kind of a fellow is he?
Well, he's a good, steady fellow from what I hear. He's been working around logging camps a good number of years. Jeb can tell you more about him than I can. He knows all these men.
Are these poker games honest?
It wouldn't be healthy for anybody caught cheating. No, I'm sure the kid didn't lose because there was anything crooked going on. Have to admire him, though. He's going to pay off. He proved that when he endorsed his check over to Jensen and left camp with only $2. There's Jeb heading for the office now.
What's that?
That's the 8 o'clock whistle over at the mill. Come on in, Jeb.
Morning.
Shake hands with Mr. Barber, Jeb.
Oh, pleased to meet you.
How are you, Jeb?
Mr. Barber's Pinky Murray's uncle I told you about.
Yeah. Tell me you flew up from San Francisco last night.
Yes, Pinky's mother, it's my sister, is pretty worried about him.
I told Mr. Barber all I knew, but I thought he might want to ask you a few questions.
Well, glad to help if I can. Trouble is, I didn't pay much attention to what Pinky was saying when I was driving him down from Camp 4. From what I gathered, he was quitting, was going to head for home. That's all there was to it.
Yeah, we had no idea he wasn't going to get in touch with his folks in San Francisco. You knocked me over with a feather when the boss phoned up here and said there hadn't been any word from him down there.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, Jeb, did he seem depressed when you were driving down?
Well, yes, he wasn't a dumps, all right. You see, he just had word from Mr. Higbee's daughter saying that she was engaged to somebody else, and he was taking that pretty hard. When we left camp up there, the men were joking him about losing out with the big boss's daughter, so he was kind of mad and, you know, disgusted with the world in general.
Yeah, but you didn't feel that he was in a desperate frame of mind, huh?
No, I wouldn't say desperate. More kind of, well, like he didn't care much.
Uh-huh. Then you just assumed that he was going home to San Francisco.
Well, it seemed to me he said something about hitchhiking. I can't be sure of that, but it may be that's how I got the idea he was going home.
Well, didn't he tell you he only had $2, Jim?
Yeah.
Well, then he'd have to hitchhike unless he wired his folks for money.
Well, he hadn't done that. They hadn't heard a word from him.
You see, we didn't worry about him, Mr. Barber, because we knew he was well connected in San Francisco.
Yeah, of course. What was the last either of you saw of him?
Well, I didn't see him after he left the office. Endorsed his paycheck, said to give it to Jensen, and left.
How about you, Jim?
Well, I was working on my truck, and he went by on his way toward the mill.
Did he say anything to you?
Thanked me for the ride down from Camp 4, and then he said, so long, see you in jail.
Huh? See you in jail?
Oh, just joking, I think. Or he might have been thinking about what I said to him driving down.
What was that?
Oh, I was telling him about the time when I was his age and sort of on the bum. And when I got up against it for a place to sleep, I'd go around to the police station in the town. They usually put a fella up if they ain't crowded and the man's sober. Could be he had that in mind.
Yeah. What's the nearest town from here of any size?
Eugene.
That's probably where Pinky would have gone first, you think?
Yeah, if he's hitchhiking, that'd be the logical place to start, huh?
How far is Eugene?
About 12 miles. Always somebody driving in from the mill here, so he could have gotten a ride to Eugene without any trouble.
Well, I think I'll get over there and check with the police station, see if I can find out anything.
I'm sorry we can't help you out more, Mr. Barber. I certainly hope the boy's all right.
Well, I appreciate what you've done. He seemed in good health.
Oh, looked fine. He's grown since he come up here. Put on a little weight. He's in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
How old is he anyway? 18, 19?
19. Could I call San Francisco on this phone here?
Oh, sure.
I'd like to call my sister and tell her that I'm going to Eugene, let her know what I found out. Be some reassurance for her to learn that he's all right physically.
Oh, yeah. You can tell her he's as healthy as they come.
I'll get long distance for you.
Tell him I'd like the charges, please.
Mm-hmm. Central, give me long distance, please. Here you are, Mr.
Long distance? I want San Francisco, Sea Cliff 8085. Anyone at that number and give me a report on the charges, please. All right. I'm going to ring when she gets called through. Jeb, I was asking your brother about Jensen. He said you knew him pretty well.
Yeah, Jensen's all right. Those men did their best to keep Pinky out of that poker game. The kid insisted on playing. The game was too steep for him, and he lost his head, that's all.
And he still owes Jensen $210,
huh? Yeah. Said he was going to pay it off. Got to give the boy credit. He's no welcher.
Well, as long as the game is honest, it should be paid. I don't want this debt up here hanging over his head.
Whatever you say, Mr. Barber.
It'll be better that way. Use your pen here.
You help yourself, yeah.
What's Jensen's first name?
Bo George or something like that. Just make it B. Jensen.
Mm-hmm. You'll be kind enough to give him this next time you drive up to Camp 4.
I sure will.
All right, there you are. Thank you. At least we got that much cleared up.
Yeah, there you are. There's your call.
Hello, Hazel? I'm in the office at Camp 2. No, not definite yet, but I'm sure he's all right. I'm leaving here right away to go into Eugene. I think I'll be able to get on his trail before too long.
Well, what did they say up there? Was Pinky really all right, Paul? Well, that's some satisfaction.
Who? What did he say?
What, Father?
Never mind. It's long distance. You can tell me later.
I was talking to Father, Paul. He came over early to see if I'd heard anything from you. Dan waited as long as he could, but he had to get downtown to work, and Margaret's gone to school. Where'd you say you were going? I see. Yes, but why wouldn't he call us or wire us if he was doing that? You'd think he'd realize how worried we'd be. Well, I hope that's what it is. Oh, no, I won't stir away from this phone. Thanks, Paul. It's wonderful of you to do all this. It's helped a lot to talk to you. Uh-huh. Bye. Well, Paul hasn't found out anything really definite yet, Father. He's leaving for Eugene now. That's the nearest city to the camp.
Yes, yes.
He thinks Pinky left the camp to go to Eugene and was going to hitchhike his way home from there. He was so upset over Eunice and everything in general that he apparently couldn't get away from up there fast enough.
Yeah, that's no excuse for him not getting in touch with you and Daniel.
I know. Oh, thank heaven he's in good health anyway. Maybe he was too proud to ask us for money and wants to turn up here and surprise us. He might think we don't know that he's left up there and doesn't know we're worrying.
Why, of course he knows you're worrying. You've written him several letters asking him to explain his long silence. He must have received them.
Yes.
Well, then, how can you say he doesn't know?
Well, we didn't know about Eunice then. It must have been a terrible blow to him when he learned that she was engaged. He probably wasn't able to think about writing or anything but his own troubles.
He has a duty to his parents.
Well, if he's all right, I'll forgive him anything.
Yes, that's the whole trouble. You've been too easy on him. He's gambled. Got himself in debt again. I tell you, Hazel, he needs a short rein or he never will get hold of himself.
Oh, Father. How can you be so harsh when something dreadful might have happened to him?
No, 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 my dear. You mustn't let yourself get upset.
I don't want to, but this awful strain of not knowing, it's just terrible. Can't you understand how I feel?
Yes, yes. I'm sorry I spoke harshly about the boy. It's not that I'm not extremely fond of him myself.
Oh, I know you are. It's all right. It's just that all of us are a little overwrought.
Yes, yes.
I think I'll phone Mother and tell her what Paul had to say. Can't call Dan yet. He hasn't had time to arrive at his office.
Your mother's waiting to hear from you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's the doorbell.
Yeah, I'll go. You go ahead and phone.
Thanks. Hello, Mother? I just finished talking to Paul long distance. Well, he hadn't anything really definite to tell me, but he's sure Pinky's all right. Oh, yes, I feel ever so much better since I talked to him. Paul says that...
Hazel?
Just a minute, Mother.
My dear, it's from Pinky.
What, Father?
A special delivery letter from Pinky.
Oh, hello, Mother. A special delivery letter just came from Pinky. Wait a minute, I'll read it to you. Open it, Father.
Yes, yes.
Oh, I'm so relieved.
Here you are, my dear.
I'm shaking. Hello, Mother. He says, Dear Mom, by the time you get this, I will be on my way to San Diego.
Huh?
I enlisted in the Navy at Eugene, Oregon, and a bunch of us are leaving for boot camp in just a few... Here, Father, you'll have to read the rest of
it. Pinky's in the Navy, eh? Hazel, he couldn't be in better hands.
Barbers will be back in just a moment. A headache can make you feel pretty miserable. And friends, when it does, take Alka-Seltzer. Yes, the thing to do for fast headache relief is drink a glass of sparkling, refreshing Alka-Seltzer. It contains one of the world's most effective pain relievers called sodium acetyl salicylate. Alka-Seltzer is already dissolved when you take it. Therefore, it's ready to go to work instantly. That's why it brings such fast relief. So remember, the first thing to do whenever you have a headache is drink a glass of Alka-Seltzer. You'll feel better fast. Yes, always take Alka-Seltzer for comforting headache relief. Ask your druggist for Alka-Seltzer. First, fast, and always. Here's the family again.
Yes, Paul. We just received a letter from him. Are you in Eugene? Well, I'm sorry you had to fly all the way up there for nothing. Yes, and Uncle Sam's going to have a handful with Pinky, I'm afraid.
Remember, friends, for quick relief from the misery of a cold, take Tabsin quick, feel better quick. Tabsin, spelled T-A-B-C-I-N, is the improved antihistaminic tablet that is a combination of relief-giving ingredients. Tabsin does more in relieving cold misery. Tabsin checks the sniffling and sneezing, the irritation in the nose and throat. And Tabsin also acts to relieve the headache and reduce the fever that may accompany a cold. Tabsin has the guarantee seal of Good Housekeeping magazine and the commendation seal of Parents magazine. That's Tabsin, the bright red tablets in the bright red package at all drugstores. One Man's Family is brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Tomorrow, Pinky Murray, Seaman Recruit. Chapter 7, Book 84. This is a Carlton E. Morse production, directed by Michael Raffetto.